song starts to come to me, the music of the song called Vijay, Jaya Vishnava, Kamala Homes, the Pah, Shires, Bhakti, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saras, Bhakti, Vijay, Jaguri, Vaishnavi, Vijay, Padra, Srimad, Bhakti, Vijay, Jaguru, Brahmandi, Vadi, 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 All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
God for demigods.
Kanka.
Kanka.
Buzzards.
Buzzards.
Green
ground.
Vultures.
Vultures.
Baka.
Baka.
Herons.
Herons.
Atapraya.
Atapraya.
White crows.
White crows.
Arya Samaya Parihita.
Arya Samaya Parihita.
Were rejected by authorized Vedic scriptures.
Were rejected by authorized Vedic scriptures.
Accepted by the Aryans.
Accepted by the Aryans.
Sankhyena.
Sankhyena.
By connection or with no basis of authority.
By connection or with no basis of authority.
Indicated by the scripture.
Indicated by the scripture.
Abhidhate.
Abhidhate.
He accepts as worshipful.
He accepts as worshipful.
Translation and purport is Vaisnavas to A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Prabhupada
Gita.
The personal weapon used by Lord Krishna, the disc, is called Hari Chakra, the disc of Hari. This chakra is the wheel of time. It expands from the beginning of the atoms up to the time of Brahma's death, and it controls all activities. It is always revolving and spending the lives of the living entities. From Lord Brahma down from insignificant blade of grass. Thus one changes from infancy to childhood to youth and maturity. And thus one approaches the end of life. It is impossible to check this wheel of time. This wheel is very exacting because it is a personal weapon of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes the conditioned soul, fearing the approach of death, wants to worship someone who can save him from imminent danger. Yet he does not care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose weapon is indefatigable time factor. The conditioned soul instead takes shelter of a man-made god, described in the unauthorized scriptures. Such gods are like buzzards, vultures, herons, and crows. Vedic scriptures do not refer to them. Imminent death is like the attack of a lion, and neither vultures, buzzards, crows, or herons can save one from such an attack. One who takes shelter of the unauthorized man-made gods cannot be made from the clutches of, cannot be saved from the clutches of death. Purport. It is stated, Harim dinam tim na taram di. No one can save himself from the cruel hands of death without being favored by Hari, the Supreme Personality of God. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, whoever fully surrenders unto Krishna can be saved from the cruel hands of material nature. The conditioned soul, however, sometimes wants to take shelter of a demigod, man-made god, pseudo incarnation, or bogus swami or yogi. All these cheaters claim to follow religious principles, and all this has become very popular in the age of Kali. There are many Kashandis who, without referring to the Shastras, pose themselves as incarnations, and foolish people follow them. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has left behind him Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not referring to these authorized scriptures, rascals take shelter of man-made scriptures and try to compete with Lord Krishna. That is the greatest difficulty one encounters when trying to promote spiritual consciousness in human society. The Krishna consciousness movement is trying its best to bring people back to Krishna consciousness in its pure form. But the Vaishnavas and atheists who are cheaters are so numerous that sometimes we become perplexed and wonder how to push this movement forward. In any case, we cannot accept the unauthorized way of the so-called incarnations, gods, cheaters, and bluffers, who are described here as crows, vultures, buzzards, and herons. Om Ajnanam Dasya. We have Kundraka, the battlefield of Krishna, with a four-armed wooden form. I mean, even in Krishna's time, they were the attempted imitators. We always laugh at that. Then the different pseudo-incarnations, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he would deal with these bogey yogis who were trying to have some form of rasalila, and then he had to use his powers to actually bring them to jail and properly dealt with. So many illustrations are there. Ravana, he came in the guise of a Brahmin to capture Sita. Reminds me of what Srila Prabhupada said, but beware of the demons in devotee dress. Or make my view now. Time for the next meeting. I'm using the humorous note, not that we're seeing. But Prabhupada gave that warning. And we see that actually what happens is that self-realization, we become bewildered, because this verse is speaking how the living entities become bewildered by such personalities, by such glowworm personalities. And it becomes a very dangerous field. Now, this is the age of Kali. And even in Krishna's time, personalities like this existed. Now, it's described in the Shastras that if you look at the Satyuga was a period of 30 billion years. Kaliyuga, 17 billion years. And then Dwapara-yuga, 12 million years. And then Kaliyuga, a mere 432,000 years. Now, if you do the mathematics, if the Shastras say that the living entities in Satyuga, Treta-yuga, Dwapara-yuga, they've either gone back to God or they're in the heavenly planets, etc. But look around the room, we see lots of jivas here. Look around the plane. Where were we in the middle of that period? Satyam, Treta, Dwapara-yuga. The Shastras proclaim that actually, we were actually in a hellish condition. Do the mathematics. If we were in those ages, we would be here right now. That means 59 million years in a hellish condition. Of course, material time, spiritual time is different dimensions. But still, one thing's for sure, a long time. But actually, in the age of Kali, the beauty is the Harinam Sankirtan. That even demigods are going to convert from the age of Kali. If you look around you look at your experiences, where are you, how you come to Krishna consciousness, what persons have invited you in Krishna consciousness, giving you inspiration. In hindsight, is even easier than foresight. One thing I could say after going through so many tests, so many years, and seeing so many, shall we say, situations that can be bewildering, is that actually, if you look right now, you're all in Maya Purudam. You're all chanting the holy names of the Lord. What a perfection. And a few years, the best a few years in dealing with these material forms, of course, the devotee's form is spiritual. The rod of the fire becomes like the fire. But look at your fortune. Srila Prabhupada once said in one lecture, look around you. Look to your right, look to your left. Who knows? Narada Muni could be sitting next to you. You'd be right there. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that's especially given to us by the Parampara, and most recently, Divine Grace Lacey, Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada. It's like a pocket of the wave. Anyone who knows about water sports? If you're in a certain section of the wave, the surfer is called the pocket, and you can push along. So simply, add Krishna in service to Srila Prabhupada's mission, and he will be pushed along in a wonderful way. But as we see in Kali Yuga, many persons don't have that access. They're not so fortunate. And there's so many bewildering philosophies out there. Now, even in Vrindavan, there's a big subject matter. It's an argumentative subject matter by the pseudo-gurus and those realized saints, that Vrindavan, which is only five kroshas, which is 15 kilometers, that's Vrindavan. Vrindavan? Bahamese forest, Vrindavan, the first of Tulsi, there's Tulsi everywhere. Tulsi only grows in the Vrindavan city area. There's one nice verse from the Garga of Samhita, Govardhan Kanda. Yatra Vrindavanam nasti, yatra jamuna nadi. Yatra Govardhanam nasti, tatra mecha manati sukham. That actually where there is no Govardhan hill, where there is no Jamuna, this cannot be Vrindavan. Vrindavan is filled with various hills and ponds and lakes. And it has a limited expansion of area. Of course, within our particular material vision, it's not 15 kilometers, but it's a diameter of 60 kilometers. But the modern personalities who want to capture, because you see behind this philosophy, is that the real Vrindavan is in the city environment, then this is the environment where you can experience real loss. So then it goes to copyright field. But actually, there is not the true Ras is only in Vrindavan, it's not in Varshana, it's not in Govardhan. So, anyways, these things are going on. But this is the nature of the Kali Yuga, as this verse is describing, pseudo teachers and pseudo gurus. And in that way, it becomes a very confusing field. Now, there's three different levels of material freedom. One level is called Brahm, and that refers to one who is actually free from material identification. And then there's Jagat Brahm, which refers to a higher level of transcendentalist, one who is free from the different six pushings of the mind. There's lust, anger, and greed. All these fields create a sense of bodily concept, beyond the body, beyond the pushings of the mind. And then there's the third and highest growth stage, Sudrata, where the transcendentalist, it goes beyond all external identifications, even sampradaya, which can have its limitations when there is this principle that any spiritual field, is I and mine. So when there's attachment towards something material, which is temporary, it can be attachment towards something or see one's disciples, or see one's property, or see one's temples in the wrong way. That even in the sampradayic meaning, if we are not free from this reality of attachment to I and mine, we can take our temperature of how truly we are living what we are receiving through the Brahma-Bodhya Sampradaya. Because transcendentalism is completely free from this misidentification. And in this way, we can kind of take our temperature and develop an appreciation that what is the process of Krishna consciousness? Are we actually living the path? Because you see this verse describing, okay, we can laugh at the Pandavas, we can laugh at those who are trying to imitate Krishna in his lila, we can laugh, you see so-called gurus, I mean, the pseudo-gurus is guiding people, giving them mystic powers, mystic arts, that we can laugh at that, but do we look more closely, in a honest sense, that as Prabhupada himself said, beware of the demons in the devotee dress, or let's say for the persons in here, if there's material desire, it means a separate approach than trying to enjoy be enjoyed by Krishna. Of course, the Prabhupada said, you can't condemn a dirty person in the shower. We are in the proper shower of purification. But when we read these types of verses, we should see how it applies to us. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that actually for those who engage in political arenas, it undermines the process of devotion. It undermines the process of bhakti. So politics is the best way to think in terms of a more or less demoniac mentality, meaning I'm trying to create disturbance. There's so many demons in Krishna Leela, they try to create disturbance. In Balogdan, presently, there's rumors of demons. Of course, the Lord uses that to enhance the loving relation of devotees. So we can see that actually, for someone who may create some sort of disturbance, the Sankirtan, Sam means with, together, and Kirtan means to glorify. This is the beauty of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, a collective glorification. There are many facets to a jewel, and that's what makes a jewel very beautiful. That's why I love Gaurav Vidyas Pujas, because you see many devotees of different abilities, different samskaras, offering their best to Guru. And it's amazing because what we see of Vyas Puja, it actually shows, it's kind of like by seeing the devotion of others, we get a barometer of where we stand, how we can increase. That's the beauty of a Vyas Puja offering to Guru. We can see where we stand, we are inspired by others, and then we can actually make steps forward. So in that way, we can really understand what's described in the Bhagavatam, that the process of Krishna consciousness, dharmasya papavargasya, that actually the process means that one does not approach Krishna consciousness with desires for material gain. Because actually that's like putting broken glass on the path. And you're actually teaching others by example. So if you have good habits, the youth will learn the good habits. And if you have the bad habits, then they'll also imbibe those bad habits. So Srila Prabhupada is the supreme genius in Parampara. Because Krishna consciousness is the ultimate multi-market leveling program. You can enthuse others in kirtan, you can enthuse others in distribution, you can enthuse others in how to decorate the deity. One time Srila Prabhupada in Los Angeles, one Mataji was saying that, Srila Prabhupada, today I dress for being organization. Prabhupada said, you are doing nothing. The deities have dressed themselves. And that was really good one to remember for those four Vajaras. Of course, you're all Vajaras of different parts of the arena of Seva. I remember from Pavi Jani Janivas is right here. His uncle, Janivas said, the Pajaris go directly back to God. Because they're getting trained by the Supreme Vrijvasi. The Supreme, Radharani, Radhamada. So this beautiful, the power of deity worship. But every devotee, each one of you has different abilities. And you do have, okay, each one of you has different weaknesses. That may be there. But fan the positive, fan that strength. And then ultimately, that Maya Sukhaya Prabhupada Vibhudha, that this identification with Maya Sukhaya, happiness or stress, is identification with being a Vibhudha, being a super fool. Because this is what this verse is speaking about, the pseudo gurus. They are super fools. They are supremely envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, they begin to think themselves proprietors. But there's different levels of super fools. One time, a devotee before Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. You know, the feeling of, I gotta be humble. I'm fallen. You're not the most anything. Yes, don't learn about the process of condensation, that you look down on others, you look down upon yourself. Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda by experiencing the higher taste, you give it the lower taste. Because there's a tendency to think, oh, I'm so calm. And the example is given is the owls in the tree.
It's dark in here,
Prabhu, come out of the tree! Krishna swears on my Anantakar. Well, actually, there's a light of Krishna, darkness cannot enter. So you have a weakness, You have a weakness, you have a strength, give a strength, share that strength. I remember before coming to Krishna consciousness, I always had an attraction to go into mountains and the sea. Spent some time in New Zealand. But I remember I was always attracted to try, and I want to be by the mountains and the sea. And then I found myself, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was just in the big city. I joined in San Diego, and of course, that's the country environment around the hills there. But you learn that you have to give up various attachments. Because attachment means that actually, what can I do to enjoy with my senses? How can I enjoy? Well, we forget this reality. We're meant to be enjoyed. But oh, materially, that's not a very good equation. We've experienced being taken advantage, whether it's the tax department, whether it's family, whether it's lawyers, tax collectors. Oh, I don't like this. But actually, the essence of spiritual culture is that we have to be enjoyed by the Supreme, who is our ever-well-wisher. So in this way, when this verse describes that there's a bewilderment of intelligence and the living entity becomes covered, that we get ourselves into difficulty. So then, if we study history, apart from the personalities, apart from the gurus, the governments, the pseudo-governments. It was in the British, the materialistic British, we qualify that, here, in case you have anybody from the UK here. All right, from the UK. Okay, so that, it was 1760, when the British, when they actually began to, shall we say, manipulate this country, they found there are two features in Indian culture which we must break. One was the Gurukul, because that Gurukul, guru-disciple relationship, following Vedic principles, that these persons were there of the best moral character, and they were fixed. They would not be able to be swayed by our political innovations. So Gurukul key. Since I wake up. Secondly, it is Indian agriculture. Now, what is the backbone of Indian agriculture? Of course, mother cow. So they first, in 1760, they made a plan to start killing the cow. At that time, in Bengal, there were more cows per individual in the whole state of Bengal. More cows than human beings in Bengal. 1,000 years ago, it was, you know, the Kamadagi cows, actually, and there's many derivatives, like the gear guy, the derivative. Brazil, 1,000 years ago, they took all the best cows from Brush. These cows give 40 up to 48 liters of milk. And they took these cows, and there are a few in, that one can get, only a few are scattered throughout India, Rajasthan, and other places like that. And there's definitely moves in Vrindavan now to, there's a movement to bring these gear guys back to try and get them from Brazil and to breed them. Because have you noticed a lot of black cows or looking cows when you go to Raj? The buffalo, the British introduced the buffalo. And that was an entity which, it sweats on the inside, not outside, so it eats anyway. So it's just inappropriate for this climate. It gives more milk. But the point being is that the sacred cows of Raj, which Nandabha would donate in chariot, Krishna would donate 13,000 cows daily to the different Brahmins in Dwarka. Lord Krishna would look at marble statues of cows in remembrance of his pastime through Braj. So here, this is the form of a pseudo-government. They're trying to undermine the cow. The next year, It was in 1761, the slaughter. The first year was 30,000 cows. The next year, they slaughtered over 250,000. That's 1 crore, about 250,000. 1 crore cow died. And the plan was, because you see, if you take the cows, then there's no more fertilizers, no cow dung. There's no more cow urine. So you see, a systematic plan to undermine the culture. Then there's no fertilizer, then you sell them pesticides. There, the money's on. So many different angles. And this, these are our so-called glowworm personalities, our particular political leaders. You'll laugh, I had when I was last in Delhi during Holi. Yeah, I'd be nice to, you know, just coming through, and they asked me to go visit all the politicians before the election, big election in India.
Here I am. Politics, you know, Sangha, Glowworms.
But anyway, this devotee invited me. So come.
Go.
Meet the aristocracy. So Delhi, as you know, it's the capital, and they have all compounds and different politicians. But anyways, it's funny because we went to see there's LK Adani, you know, who's BJP, he's the senior guru. BJP, elder men, and there's Modi that was there. And they're all like, they had to, I mean, actually, of course, if, I don't know if this is rigged or not, but as far as popular vote, that they're the most leaning towards Hindu Dharma. And anyways, when they have this whole party there, the devotee I went with, because he has friends, he's friends with all these persons, he just couldn't walk through, like, the dignitaries to the door. We got to drive the whole car through, past machine guns, and past the past the walkie-talkies, you know, the pump, the and he used me as a buffer strap. Oh, we have an American swami here to go give blessings. To give blessings to your candidate.
Yeah, well, what do I know about politics?
You know, I just know, you know. One politician or another, what's the joke, you know, when does a lawyer, lie, you know, when he opens his mouth? So, anyways, of course, not the court, I hope, you know. Anyways, we went to first L.K. Adani, and he was, it was amazing. He had those modern Christian dancing in the courtyard. You see, today, that day is like a lull in the battle, you know, forget the elections, forget the sides. You can just relish, just kind of like a lull before the big election campaign and so much passionate endeavors so in so many ways. So when he asked me, so you give him, I took, you know, this holy, and when you have holy, so I went out, put holy all over his face, and then gave him a garland like that. And I mean, it was, everyone was encouraging about it, so I wasn't thinking of them, you know, of the export of the country. But it was kind of relishing, like a long battle. Even the aristocracy politicians were kind of relaxing that day. So there's some culture, it's not all bad. Then we went to see Rajendra Singh, and he was like very, you know, just more or less relishing the different party, the different mood, holy, which represents the, where Krishna originally threw the holy dust on Radha, and then a whole pastime develops. See, this whole festival is an expression of love for Radha, the love for Krishna. Of course, if you go to cities nowadays, the love turns into chemical dye. But anyways, the funny experience I had, because this devotee is very closely related to Janardan Vidvain. I can't pronounce it right. Vidvain. He's actually Sonia Gandhi's right hand man. So we sat down at the table. And he's a great, he knows, almost has the Bhagavad Gita memorized. Shlokas, so many shlokas. Very impressive. But, there's many Bhagavad Gita's in there. There's a Bhagavad Gita as it is, and back and Bhagavad Gita as you wish it would. No. But, anyways, he has this understanding of the energy. The energy is everywhere. and that the energy is there, and then I kind of politely interrupt because the devotee is pushing me to him, you know. Or I straighten him out, you know. I'm kind of going, well, he's in office, I'm out of the country. So I was kind of like playing it, kind of just like agree but not agree with him. I gave this simple, you know, simple analogy the Prabhupada has given, and well, just you see, you know, that actually the president or prime minister has a post. He's a person. But his energy goes throughout the kingdom, out the country. So his power goes everywhere, but there's always a source. There's always a personal feature. He's also a professor at the university. Careful universities, guys. But anyway, he's a professor. And he was explaining, he twisted the whole argument that actually, even though I'm in my post, there's so many other representatives, but the energy's going everywhere like this. You know, it's kind of like, if I try to back off, you're just, because the point is not worth preaching the faithful, especially when it's like the third most important, you know, the most person, third most empowered person in the country, you know. But I was amazed to see someone who's in a position of authority with such an impersonalistic meaning. And I was, from that point on, I was thinking, well, it's not rigged, this party. This time. But it's because here is a leader, and people look up to that leader. And what is it? What does it mean? This verse is explaining how pseudo gurus, pseudo personalities, they like to eclipse the supreme, they like to take from the supreme. So if you're a politician, then you're actually not being truthful, you're not living your life in terms of dharma, then what else do you do? Well, you gotta clear your pockets. And this great thing, this is something that's so many embarrassments in the government. So in this way, we can take lesson about how we should be very, very careful about our position. We can see others who are trying to imitate Krishna or trying to create disturbance in relationship to Krishna. But we have to always understand there are dangers, as Srila Prabhupada says in the Gita, on a royal robes. There is that mud which can affect anybody. Mud refers to intoxication, loba refers to illusion. Throughout the Bhagavatam, there are examples of actually personalities like Narada Muni, the Parshadal, the Supreme Lord, eternal servant. He came under illusion when he overcame the test of Cupid. He went to Indraloka, very proud, he wanted to be glorified, and all the demigods say, oh, you conquered over Cupid. And so there was some sense of honor. That's why, be careful, don't want to be glorified. But you can learn from the example of Narada Muni. Even Narada was overcome by this intoxication. He went to Lord Shiva and explained, hey, I overcame the force of Cupid. And then Lord Shiva goes, Narada, cool it. Don't say this to Vishnu. And it's like somebody, I've been to some program, I've heard the philosophy all the time. I heard it all. You know? So Narada is thinking, don't. And he went before Lord Vishnu, and so Lord Vishnu asked him, oh, how are you doing, Narada? Kumpala Brahmachari, very good. Oh, everything is good. Everything goes on by your grace, by your mercy. Then there was some abhimana that was there. That, you know, that he was outwardly saying something, but inside he was thinking, I am recognized, I am known. So then the Lord made a special arrangement for him. He made Narada Muni, nice to the brother.
Nothing to do with women, nothing!
He went to this one kingdom, and there was a very beautiful princess that she was going to be married. And Narada was, wow, she's beautiful. And then he said, wow, it's a Swayamvara ceremony, how am I going to get her? How am I going to, how am I going to get her? I mean, actually, anyone who has this girl as his wife, they'll be victorious in all directions, you know. So anyways, he's looking for a Cleopatra. No, but then
So he comes to Vishnu. My Lord Vishnu, give me your beauty, please.
And the Lord says, Narada, I will not give you anything that will cause you harm. So Narada goes, okay, just give me your beauty. I'll worry about it later. He goes back to the Swayambhara ceremony. Yes, yeah, I get the beauty of Krishna. I get the Vishnu. Yes. I'm going to win the best girl in town, you know. And Narada, he comes by, and they're all sitting, in different chairs. And there's two representatives of Shiva, and they're kind of like laughing at Narada. Yeah, surely, she'll pick me up. It's Kokom Ramachar, you know. Narada's kind of, why they? They're fun. Anyways, you know, they're kind of cracking up. So the queen comes through, but she checks out all the suitors. And then she'll guard on the best. That's the science. She came to Narada, and Narada's like, it's described in the Ramayana. How he's like itching and kind of like peddling, you know. Put on the best look. Probably practice in the mirror, you know. Sometimes in the Brahmacharya, I think the Brahmacharya comment. So anyway, it's not. So Narada, she looked at him. And walked on. What? I'm Vishnu's appearance. I'm Narada Muni. She ran in, he kind of felt she's walking away. Maybe she just missed me. It's kind of funny because you can see the earthly pastimes, you know, the suitors in the beginning kind of moving. She's looking at me. So, and then the ladies are kind of like, you know, you just get impossible attraction. I'll kind of like, you know, play it cool. And I'm not so attractive. So anyways, Narada was like, what's going on? What's happened? So then the attendant of Lord Shiva said, hey Narada, go look in the pond of water over there. Narada went over. He had a monkey face! Literally, the Vishnu gave him a monkey face! Oh! And I forgot something. Lord Vishnu came disguised as a suitor. And he's the one who won the girl, and she got on with him. So then Narada was dry. Because, I mean, Then he went to search for Vishnu to give him sauce. Like the other day during the feast, one of the voters gave me some chutney, some sauce. I kind of joke. I used to be mantra all the time. Hey, it's the only time to give a swan the sauce. Part of the appetizing for the next feast. But anyways, Narada was so angry. Vishnu! And I'm overdoing the shots with him. You know, you're cruel, and you steal people's wives because the queen, the princess, is right beside Lord Vishnu. Not you, Vishnu, I curse you. Narada, he's cursing. You see, due to Mara, even Narada Muni has lost the plot. Of course, we all understand the Lord makes his arrangements. Arjuna lost the plot in a sense. He just picked flowers and offered them to you. I don't want to fight. Why should I kill family members? So in this way, Narada cursed Vishnu. You will have your wife separated from you. You can separate my girlfriend from me. You know she can. You're going to lose your wife, and guess what? Ha, 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 ha. And he took his sweat out. You will have to have monkey soldiers to get her back. And then he realized, what am I doing? My goodness! Because the Dharma Buddha Yoga found this, and all of a sudden the Lord changes the whole portfolio. Narada came back and said, what have I done? I've cursed
My Lord, please, please, please take this curse back. Allow me to take this curse, please, please.
And then the Lord said, don't worry about it. It was all my plan. Because then he took, of course, his pastimes of Lord Ramachandra.
But he needed an excuse. He needed some lila where his wife was taken away from him.
And then he had to utilize so many monkey soldiers. So in this way, Narada was placed in an illusion. But this mud, this moha can affect anyone at any level.
And the gopis are dancing with Radha and Krishna. The Vasalila, the different gopis were there. The day of Lord Brahma, they're experiencing dancing together.
And then Krishna disappeared from everybody except Radharani.
And they're thinking, sisters, some type of small bride, and then ultimately Krishna disappeared from her.
All to increase that loving devotion and loving attention. So in this way, we can understand our position, how easy that we can also fall into illusion and make some offense. And we want to be very conscientious, because just like when in Iskanda Purana, this is actually the Ramayana. It's about the part that when Hanuman is in Yashoka Grove, and he's there to show the ring of Ram, and that's a mercy cup, and she sees a small monkey, and he says, yes, I'm Hanuman, I'm on behalf of Ram. She can realize, okay, they're from Ram, she gave Yashoka Ram's ring.
But little monkey, she's going, how is your little rat-like army
gonna fight the demons of Ravana? Like this. Hanuman kind of like, because you know he likes to expand. Hanuman's kind of,
his arms were as big as like the armies of Ravana combined. He kind of was, jump on my back, jump on my shoulders. I can take you, no need of a god, I can take you back to Ramachandra.
And Sita Devi, that he was most chaste, she said, oh, I will not do anything. I will not touch any man. Ravan, I was out of my willpower, but I will not do anything about the order of Lord Ram. So anyways, you know the whole pastime that Meghna, who is the brother of Ravan, came. Of course, it is a funny pastime where when Ravana sent his minister to see what's happening to Shokugro. He's stripping apart. He's killing many of the soldiers. And the minister, Ravana's minister, to Hanuman, you can't be here! And as soon as he opened his mouth, because you know, Hanuman just came over, long jumped to Lanka, and monkeys had to pass water. So he passed water right in the mouth of the minister. And the minister went back to Ravana and told him what happened. I mean, I had the experience. I was actually in Radhakund and getting some vegetables. You know, this pastime came to mind, you know, and I'm sitting there eating vegetables. All of a sudden, it's dripping. Warm water hits me, and I hate to say it, but it just kind of it was salty. I'm not seeing this purification for you. Amazing what happens with the dog, you know? Brought the best out of time. But Hanuman, he said to Sita, don't worry about Ram. Come with me, and I'll take you back. I can take you back. And as a result of this pride, he had to get a reaction. He fell into a bit of illusion. But anyways, and what happened down the road is Bharat, he was actually flying. And Bharat shot a straw arrow at him. And it struck him very quickly. And then Prahlad Maharaj says ultimately, Navavas Napatis, that ultimately the Padmaraman to Rajan, oh, he didn't say father, he said, oh, king, is actually that power, is the power you've been given, the power I've been given. To Prahlad is an example of someone who took proper shelter of the powerhouse and was saved in so many situations. That's why it's very, very important for us always to be conscientious of how we can be mindful of the dangers even on the royal roads. But not just certain pastimes, the pseudo incarnations and the pseudo personalities. Feeling that he gives great instruction to us how actually the devotee must understand that there's different modes of nature. And he's speaking about the process of devotion. How actually there's what's known as guna maya. There's devotion in the mode of ignorance. Devotion in the mode of rajas. The devotion in sattva guna. And according to what guna or quality we may have, we may engage in devotional activity. Of course, by utilizing that service, Arjuna and Manu, they had the ability to be very violent. They could use that in service to the Lord. So similarly, many devotees can use that. But if we begin to identify with that guna, without trying to make a solid advancement, then we become implicated in materialistic paradigms, materialistic planning. And this is what happens. Even within a society of spiritualists, we may have someone taking the position of responsibility with the hands in the cookie jar, meaning, well, I'm not really feeling the taste of my devotional favor. Let me see what kind of wealth I can get. I can run my circle of concern behind my computer. And it even happens that you can move with the leaf folders, so then you can deal with devotees like that. So that's a form of forgetfulness of the Supreme Lord. And what happens is that we become a little wooden-headed, we become a little mechanical. So even the bona fide incarnations can be criticized. And we look at the position of Lord Chaitanya, how Srivasanga, they were, the worshippers of Lord Chaitanya were dancing, not until in a kirtan, people were thinking they're dancing, making so much noise, they're definitely worshipping the deity. Now they're after Shakti. So then, even Mahaprabhu, people were trying to discredit him. And then soon after that, that's what his whole leela was, he was announced, and he left, and I believe that he would come intermittently. And the pastime with Madhavacharya, who is an incarnation, Madhavacharya, who is an incarnation of Sheshanava, and people doubted his authenticity. And so then his disciples said, just show them your form. And that'll shut them up. He said, no, they cannot see my form. So they made this arrangement. What you can do is, because another sage is 1,000 mouths. So he can actually answer 1,000 questions at once. So I'll go behind a curtain, and you have different persons asking different questions. I'll answer them all. So they went behind the curtain, the person was asking questions, what's the process of self-realization, what is a bona fide guru, how can one understand the relationship with the personal Brahman? And he answered all the questions simultaneously. Without permission, they opened the curtain to see. And they saw another shape with 1,000 heads like that. And they all these detractors passed out. And they awoke after some time and said, please forgive us for this offense. So this is the example of a real McCoy, the real incarnation. And we've seen the devotees of the Lord, like Srila Prabhupada, who is Shaktivish Avatar, who is empowered with the potencies of distribution, that we can see in their example of how, when they would actually smile, they could change the heart of an individual. Just by their presence. And then and those who were with Srila Prabhupada can acknowledge how he would see right through I met one janitor who mentioned the Prabhupada, and it was, I think, in LaGuardia Airport, and he saw him. I anticipated he was a big man, but he came out very, very small, you know, stature-wise. Very small like that, but that man, he wore my heart. One of the time Prabhupada gave a job bag over to him. And I paid what they call Dandavats. The Prabhupada we see as an example, as a true servant of the Lord, utilizing the gifts given to him in a proper manner, has created such a society which is also distributing and giving to others. So these are a few points that we can look at by trying to understand how we can actually purify our seva, purify our outlook, inspire others, and in that way become a contributor in some way, shape, or form, not part of the problem. So our fortune is very good, unlimited fortune, and take advantage of the opportunity. A wonderful association. If you do not, someone else will. Hare Krishna.
Hero.
Anybody have any questions? Well, if you look at devotional service in terms of Rajagun, using passionate nature, and you're very controlling in your efforts, you're utilizing your abilities on your strength, on your samskara.